What's up, guys? Big guest coming on today. Big guest coming on today. Super stoked. We got Ian motherfucking Edwards is coming on the podcast. Ian is he's a comedian out in LA. He's been on Joe Rogan. He's written for Comedy Central, been on Fox, Punked, The Boondocks. The list goes on. But I am so excited. I'm going to resume this podcast whenever he calls in. And we'll get right into it, man. I'm so excited. So I'm so happy that this is going on, by the way, the podcast. I just get to talk to cool ass people all the time. But like I said, I will resume once he calls in, man. All right, yeah. So here we go. I got Ian Edwards on the podcast today, and I am so excited. What is going on, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. You're in California right now?
Yes, it's a normal Sunday in California. 2 p.m. just woke up.
2 p.m. 2 p.m. just woke up. Damn, it is. I'm in Cleveland over here, and it is. Gray skies, cold weather, and rain. That's about it. I don't know if you have you been to Cleveland.
0-16.
Oh my god. Oh, and 0-16. You're right. Thanks for that one.
I can't take credit for it.
Did you watch the UFC last night?
Nah, I missed it. I was just catching up. I saw the highlights of the fight, though.
Gotcha. Yeah, our guy proved everybody wrong. That felt good.
Oh yeah, it's a Cleveland fireman, right?
Yeah, man. That's he's great, dude. He's a really cool guy too, because he's so like down with the community, and if you see him in the streets, he'll stop, talk to you, take a picture with you. He's just a good dude. So seeing him finally gets a little bit of respect. It's nice, you know? I did like a little bit of an intro before you came on, talking about how you've been on Joe Rogan, you do stuff with Death Squad, Mark Maron, Joey Diaz. I mean, the list goes on. You're one of those absolute killers in stand up comedy. Problem.
I heard that shit.
What's up?
I wish I could have heard that. Sounds great.
Yeah. Dude, other than comedy though, you write. You're a big writer for shows, right?
Yeah, I write.
Do you get like people that come up to you ever, and they talk about liking a certain show that you wrote on, but don't know that you wrote on it?
Normally, they'll know I write on it. Come up and like, yeah. I've had people come up to me and not like shows that I wrote on and track it.
They trap you?
They trash the show.
Oh, I thought you said they trap.
They don't know that I wrote on it.
Oh, so they come up. I get what you're saying.
Because they're going to jump in and trash the show with them.
Yeah. That's got to not be too nice.
Yeah, on that.
With as far as like comedy, I'm not going to ask how you got started, because, I mean, I'm sure everybody asks that question. But, what are one or two things that stood out from either, you know, the first time that you did either like a stand up or an open mic or like a paid gig? Like, is there anything that stands out to you?
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking about it. Like, when I started, before I ever did my first set, I was like, oh, I'm going to do comedy. Once I decided I was going to do comedy, it happened in an instant. I was like, oh, I'm going to do comedy. Started going to open mics.
Oh, wow.
Just to watch.
Okay.
And then the night when I got on stage, it's funny, like, I just committed to it before I even tried it once. I was like, oh, that's what I'm going to do. Like, once I got the idea. And then I went on stage. So, in retrospect, I don't know if that's weird. I guess a lot of people decide what they're going to do before they go do it. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess people, they're in the middle of doing something, and they're like, oh, shit, I'm good at that. But, people, a number of people told me I was funny, and then there was one person that told me I was funny. He said, you should try stand-up. And I said, oh, shit, that's what I'm going to do. So from that moment on, I knew I was going to do it. What I was going to do. I wasn't going to do anything else. So when I went on stage the first time, I bombed, and I was nervous. And I was bombing because I couldn't say any of my jokes right because I was so nervous. I was stumbling over. But then the last joke, I pulled it together a little bit, and it worked. And I was like, oh, I just got to not be nervous, and I'll be fine.
It
took years to not be nervous, but I took that away. Like, there was something in that set that kept me going.
I get what you're saying. Is there anybody, in particular that you look up to in stand-up?
Yeah, there's a lot of funny people out there. There's Bill Burr, there's Patrice O'Neill, there was Richard Pryor, there was, Eddie Murphy when he was doing stand-up, Martin when he was at his peak, and there's just so many names.
Did you start in New York, or did you start in L.A.?
No, New York.
Okay, yeah, I was just telling Brian Moreno when I had him on that I went to New York for New Year's Eve this year, and we went to the Broadway Comedy Club, just one of their regular shows. That place, stand up in like, cause I'm okay. So I'm in Cleveland. So I go to shows here quite often, but going to the Broadway Comedy Club where I don't really know any of the comics, but they just absolutely, it's so different. Like that type of comedy versus the stuff that I'm so used to seeing. It was really, really cool. It was interesting too. Like, I don't know. It's just a total different vibe, you know?
Like how? Explain that.
So like I've seen, Brennan Schaub, Joe Rogan, Steve-O, and like those guys are kind of working out like their hour. So they're, 50 to an hour long show, and then going to that Broadway Comedy Club, you're seeing five, six people that are just absolute monsters. And they just go up there and they kill it for, 20 minutes each. And it was just like, I had a couple of them roasting me because we were sitting in like the front row, and I never had that before either. And it was just like, oh, okay, that's what this is. This is like seeing those guys up there was just like, oh, it's a little bit different than just them working on a special. Because that's all I kind of have ever seen.
That puts things in a different perspective for me too, hearing that from, because I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, because it was just them. It felt like they were going up there and they were just being funny instead of like saying stuff that they've said over and over and over. But I know too, like you don't say
those guys are trying to make it, and they're trying to make an impression.
Yes.
Like every comic, based on where you are in your career, has different intentions at different stages of their career.
Mm-hmm.
So like the Comedy Store in LA, they have that format that you just witnessed.
Yeah.
Also, so there's people doing 15-minute sets, but also in those 15-minute sets, people are trying new shit, or sometimes they're just doing their best 15 at the present moment. So it's comedies. So you can see somebody, you can see Rogan that night at the Comedy Store. He'll do 20, but depending on what stage of working out his hour he's in, he could be doing the hot 15, 20 minute version of that hour, or adding new shit. But a lot of the comics that night, you're going to see do shit that works.
That's the other thing too about like the Comedy Store. That's kind of, I don't want to say bucket list, but that's definitely one of the things that I want to go and see. Like, I've always wanted to see a comedy show in New York, and then the next stop would obviously be L.A. because it's just, like, I see, like, the Instagram pictures that people, like, Chris D'Elia put up or whatever, and it's like, Chris D'Elia, Ian Edwards, Joe Rogan, Tom Segura, just, the list is always just so intense. Anybody on, like, those lists could be paying $50 to go see them perform, and then you go to the comedy show, and I don't know the prices, but I'm sure you're seeing all those guys for a certain price, and it just it seems awesome to like.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I heard you and Rogan talking about this on one of his podcasts, and I didn't understand it until I started doing this podcast. I do my podcast, and usually if I don't have a guest on, it's me rambling, giving opinions about certain topics going on, and I just try to make it funny. And my friends, they get it. But if I'm with somebody that I don't know, or I don't know that well, and I say, like, my opinion, or I'm talking, just, like, normally talking, they kind of give me, like, a look, like, dude, what the fuck is going on in your brain? And then, or like if I'm with people that I do know and they have their friends, they go, oh yeah, don't mind him. He does a podcast and he does his comedy podcast. Like they feel the need to
explain.
Yeah. Like, why did you do that? There was no need for that. It didn't, like I said, it didn't click until.
Then you realize your friends look at you different.
Yes.
And it's cool when you're just alone with them,
mm-hmm.
but when they're in front of what they consider company, then they're trying to defend themselves for being friends with you.
Yeah, and it's really fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we live like, we too, I
it's
mean.
It's not really fucked. It just is what it is. You just realize, like, wait a minute.
Yeah, like, that's true. Oh, that's who you are, you know? But we too. It's like we live in that weird time where literally everyone likes to get offended by everything that everybody says. So that's another thing too that I like to joke about it, just because it's so bizarre to me that's how it is. But like when you're writing jokes, you don't really take that into account, do you? I asked Brian that.
I do.
Oh, you do? I was, because I like watch your bits online.
Then I look for a loophole.
Okay.
Where I can say what I want to say, and then I protect it by logic.
Yeah, like.
If you want to challenge me on this, or if you want to say I'm offending you, there's, I guard it so you can't. You might want to. You might feel a certain way. It's just my style of comedy to like, be contrary, but also like in a way that people, even if you want to resist it, you have to acquiesce a little bit. Like, shit, he might have a point, you know.
Like, for example, your bowl cut bit. I won't give that away, but just like stuff like that. You mean?
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah,
I hear you. Do you tie yourself into your opinion, like your opinion on everything? Do you tie it into your act at all? Do you for example, like our government is shut down right now. Do you tie in your opinion to that into like your jokes at all?
Yeah, sometimes I have to find a way that everybody else is not doing it though.
Yeah.
A lot of comics are putting out specials, and a lot of comics are preparing specials,
mm-hmm.
and other comics are beating them to the punch by putting those topics on their specials. Because you can do a special in less than a year now, so the topic was pretty hot. So everybody's like talking about. Like, I got one friend; he's having trouble. Like, he's working on his Me Too material, but Chappelle just dropped the one on New Year's, and it includes those thoughts in it.
I love how Chappelle got all that shit for saying like the tranny thing, and then came back with another special and was like, yeah, I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna keep going with this. He, speaking of like that Me Too stuff, what was up with, I'm sure you've seen it, like that women's march, and there was a bunch of white girls with like signs that said, like, talking shit about white girls, and the white girls are holding it. Like, shit like that is stuff that I just don't understand.
What do you mean? I didn't see it.
Okay, so there was pictures of that women's march that just went on yesterday, or right?
I was down there yesterday.
Oh, yeah, and there was two signs in particular that I was just, that just made me think, what? And it was a white girl, and she was holding a sign, and it said, fuck white feminism. And then the other one said, it said something along the lines of like, white girls are the problem, like are part of the problem. And I was just like, why is that even a picture online?
Why is it a picture online?
Like, why did that happen in real life? Is what I mean. Like, obviously somebody took a picture of it when they saw it, but.
So the two girls were hanging out with each other?
No, they were two different, completely different girls.
But I think, this is my issue about the feminist thing. It's not even an issue. This is my point. So the Me Too movement is mostly being led by white women, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right now. You know, they're the ones that's coming out and they're getting justice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to marginalize their abuse. But yeah. At the same time, it feels like white women have turned on white men. But at the same time, before they turned on white men, white women are white men's brothers. White women are white men's sisters, aunts, mothers, grandmothers, and wives, and they have benefited from everything that white men have done to minority races. And so for them to turn, so they benefited the most and they turn on white men, and instantly they get justice and minorities still haven't gotten it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking the people who had those signs
mm-hmm.
are conscious of that.
That, I mean, that makes a lot more sense if you put it that way.
To a point, white women have enabled white men.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're not.
Yeah.
Even though there's the ones that fought for their rights, there are still the ones that enabled white men and encouraged them and took reaped benefits and didn't stop them sooner. So then the people with those signs are like, hey, white women are the problem. Because if you're stopping it now, you possibly could have stopped it then because you have their ear.
Yeah, that I get what you're saying. Yeah. 100%.
So I think that's what those signs were about.
You don't think it was just them saying? I mean,
it's absurd in a good way that it's at March. Because that's you wouldn't expect to see. It's almost like an oxymoron. Like you wouldn't expect to see those signs at that march because it's a unit. But also, hey, if you want to be better, you have to acknowledge that you have a. It's just like any 12-step program. You're an alcoholic. Shit, I'm an alcoholic. Now I'm not gonna be an alcoholic. I first have to admit it, and then now I can be better. So if people see that sign, maybe they look inside themselves and they're like, right, all right, now I'm fixing it. Those signs are not bad signs.
You just think it was like they're just doing it to raise the awareness, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because nobody wants to be the problem. So the hardest part of being a problem is admitting that you are a part of the problem. Then you can fix the problem for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was well said. Well said. The other thing too that I thought was so they did it on like the anniversary of Trump's inauguration, right?
I guess. I'm not sure.
That's what I read. And I just hope that they weren't, like, I'm not even a Trump fan by any means, but I'm not a Hillary fan either. I think, like,
I feel you.
Like, there's still people that I see online that are still wanting Hillary to be in there instead of Trump, and it's like, Joe Rogan says it the best, like, that's the girl that you guys really, like, I get it, you want a woman president, we want the best person for the job, but is that really the one that you want to represent women?
I think it feels like sometimes when you're a group that hasn't had, like, a, say, like, luckily for black people, like, it's great to have a black president.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we got the first black president. The first black president was the right black president.
Definitely.
So the white women, like, we need a white woman. And it's like, but I don't think she was the best white woman.
No.
Like, if she's the, and I'm saying this because I don't think she was the best woman. And I'm saying this because I know if she's the best woman to represent women, then women are in trouble.
Yeah.
I know there's better women than that.
Yeah.
I want the best one. So that when you look at her, even the people who are against her look at her, they'd be like, yeah, we got to give it up.
Yeah.
She is better than... So you don't just want a token one. You want the best one. And Hillary, her history, she wasn't the best one. Even in... Listen, she cheated Bernie. I don't want my president to cheat. I'm a soccer fan, right?
Yeah, yep.
And I'm watching my soccer team play. I don't know if you know anything about soccer, but players dive sometimes to get penalties.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
I don't want my team to win on a dive. It's tainted to me.
Yeah.
I want you to beat that team.
Square.
Or if you dive and we win the World Cup, in my mind, I'm like, you're in the same position as before when you didn't have a female president. Like,
mm-hmm.
if she won, right?
Yeah.
It would be in the back of your mind as a woman, she cheated. And is she really, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you want somebody that did played it straight and got in, and then you could always be like, you have the confidence of that.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. The only time I really watch soccer is during the World Cup. And I'm actually a bigger fan of the women's soccer than the men's soccer. And I remember the USA, I think, were they playing Japan? Was that one of the World Cups? Like the recent ones?
I forget where the women played the last one. I forgot. I usually watch women Olympics
mm-hmm.
soccer, and I usually watch women World Cup soccer.
But the whole thing was that I don't know if it was Japan or if it was a different country. I think it was Japan, but she did that fake dive where she was acting like she was hurt. They took her off on a stretcher, and then she just popped up and ran back. And I was like, this motherfucker. that was kind of one of my first experiences watching soccer and then that's what I get was like, this chick just totally played it out that she was out, and man, it was crazy. Is that, I meant to ask you, is that soccer, the soccer comics podcast that you do, is that all on soccer, or is it more than that and you touch on soccer?
Say that again.
It's all soccer.
Yeah, the soccer comic rant. It's all soccer.
Yeah, have you ever heard Punch Drunk? Like they're.
Yeah, they do all sports, right?
Yeah, they kind of. It's mainly sports, but they go a little bit off on different stuff too. I didn't know if that's what yours was or if it was just strictly, like all.
No, we do all soccer. So sometimes I think probably maybe you start going off a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I asked Brian this, Brian Moreno, and he had a great story. After, like, I'm always interested with after you guys do a set and stuff, and you're going, if you meet any fans, is there any interactions with fans that definitely stick out to you that you were just like, that was either too extreme, too weird, or just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, weird shit happens all the time. I can't remember exactly right now.
Mm-hmm.
But weird shit happens all the time, for sure.
Yeah, I hear you. Is there certain cities that you want to go to? Or like certain cities that you don't want to go to?
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Chris D'Elia, he said San Diego was a terrible time to do stand-up.
I like San Diego.
You like it?
Yeah, I like San Francisco. I like Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a snob. I like New York.
Okay.
I have a list of places that I like, so I just name those.
Mm-hmm.
Florida, Miami. But then I've been forced to go to places and then like, oh shit, this place is nice too.
Yeah.
I like Madison, Wisconsin. You know? Last time I was in Cleveland, I gotta be honest, it was depressing.
I know. Was it cold?
It was just like, it felt like, I grew up in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to basketball, watched basketball, football, all my life, you know?
Yeah.
All my New York life, right? So, and then I used to listen to sports radio all the time, and I used to hear, like, owners of different teams threatening to move.
Yeah.
Unless the city builds them a stadium. So, I was like, fuck them, let them move. Why is tax money got to build these people a stadium?
Yeah.
And they're already rich. So then I was in Cleveland doing shows for a whole weekend. I forgot the main club in Cleveland.
Hilarities?
Nah, it's something else, either like an improv or a punchline. Oh,
yeah. The improv? That's the improv's one of the really big ones too.
Yes. It was an improv. And I was like, oh, I mean, the city of Cleveland, but it was just dead.
Yeah.
It was just dead. Nobody was there.
That, well, also where the improv is, there's really only one place that people go to in that area.
But I was thinking in the city.
Yeah. Do you know what year it was?
Nah, it's been a while. But the baseball stadium was there.
Mm-hmm.
The basketball arena. This is before LeBron left the first time.
Oh, so this is a while ago.
A while ago, and I was like, "Oh shit!" And then, on the Sunday night show,
mm-hmm.
Cavs were playing, and there was another event. I don't know if I think baseball. I think
it would probably be baseball
or a football game. There was two sports going on.
Okay,
but it was either baseball and basketball, but it was definitely basketball. It was basketball and football. I can't remember. And the whole city was alive and packed. And I was like, and then bars were open. Like, money was just flowing through the whole town. I said, oh, that's why those owners can threaten to leave. Because that's the whole, I've been there all week and the place was empty. But if you have a team, that's when people come into the actual city and use everything and spend money, and this place is vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hey, if I'm gonna leave, your city's gonna die if I leave. So build me a stadium.
Yeah.
So that's how. Yeah, I didn't even realize that shit.
Yeah, how much power those guys have?
Yeah, and why?
Yeah. It doesn't. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you hear this too a lot, like if you've ever been to a place that kind of wasn't that good, but, and you haven't been back, but like Cleveland definitely has done a lot recently, especially like after the Cavs won the championship, the city kind of got like this new, and like with Stipe too, we kind of got this like, this little cockiness now too, where we think we're just the best city in the world, even though we're by
far. And you almost won a World Series.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's super weird how when the sports teams are doing good, the city just seems to pick up a little bit. It's very weird. Very strange that people...
Like, people live or die. Like when I do shows around the country, like, when I mean, you go different places in the world, you realize what people's culture is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, like, when I'm in Harlem, I see Harlem's culture, or when I'm just anywhere. But, and when you go England, football is the culture. Like, what's the history of the country? It's literally football.
Yeah.
Like, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, all those places, the culture is football.
Yeah.
It's really football. Like, your life is built around that shit. So, or whatever sport. So, if the team is doing good, people are in a good mood. Like, when I used to follow the Knicks, like, a game, a loss would devastate me.
Yeah.
That's 8 games in a year. When I used to follow the Giants, a loss would devastate me to the point where I have to break up with this team.
Yes, that's how I am with the Browns. People hate it when I say that, but I'm like, guys, I'm 24 years old. I've never seen them be good, ever. I can't watch them.
And that's not the first time after, and came back and got a new set of Browns. They just as bad, even worse.
Exactly.
There was a time y'all were good. You just couldn't win the playoffs.
Yeah. But, yeah, like I said, I've never seen that team, so what's the point of me wanting to root for this team?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, I do shit like that where I'd be like, fuck that. if you're in New York, they're like, you could be only a Yankee or a Mets fan. I'm doing both. Don't tell me what the fuck I can do.
Yeah, I'm wearing a Yankee shirt with a Mets hat.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. Go torture yourself. I'm maximizing this shit.
Yeah, I love it. I hate the whole, like, us versus them. Like, anytime, like, a Cleveland team will be playing another team, I'm like, oh, I actually like that player. They're like, you can't like that player. He's on that team. And I'm like, dude, who cares? He's wearing a different shirt.
Like, yeah. So my favorite players never played on my team.
Yes. And it is frustrating. But it's like, I'm still going to root for him.
Yeah.
You put out that special in 2014. Are you working on another one right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you?
It's just.
What was it?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, like, are you gonna try to do like a Netflix, or is there anything like that going on, or?
I just want to shoot something this year, like a special, and then whether somebody buys it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to that, but I just want to put something in a can so I can put away this material and start.
I hear you. What's your favorite special that's on Netflix right now?
I haven't been watching them.
Oh, you haven't?
Yeah, I don't have the time. Like, I'm writing on a show right now.
Okay.
And then I was writing some other things and doing stand-up, so I didn't really have the time. Like, I got screeners from all the movies that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
The Oscars, I haven't had time to watch those. And then I'm behind on shows that I was watching.
Are you
watching soccer for my podcast?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, busy, busy man.
Yeah.
Are you are you a fan of Black Mirror?
Yeah, but I saw one, but I fell asleep watching that.
Oh.
I'm behind all of those.
Man, that show, maybe one of my favorite shows I've ever seen. It's so intense. And by the way, you were talking about that show, The Americans. Where can I find this show at?
What?
That show, The Americans. Yeah.
FX.
Oh, it's only on FX?
Yeah, but it's on Amazon, too.
Amazon, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely need to get into that. Dude, I don't know if you said you haven't seen him, but I think Tom Segura's new special might be, I'm sure you've seen him, like, work on it or anything, but maybe my favorite thing that, like, my favorite special on Netflix. What was that?
I said, that's good. I'm glad. I'm happy for him. I saw him the other night, so I'm happy that people...
Yeah.
I'm happy he's being received well.
Yeah, that one... When he posts, like, the people that are angry about it on his Instagram, that is so funny, because he, like, roasts Louisiana or something. But, yeah, that's weird, too, because I always say... Like, I'll watch a special, and I'm like, that's my favorite special I've ever seen. Every time I watch a special, I say that. Just, like... I don't know. It's weird watching comedy, especially like going to a comedy show, because every comedy show that I've actually gone to, by far way better than anything I've watched on TV. Just because
it's always a lot.
Yeah, it's comedy shows are like, I used to go to concerts quite a lot, but I think I would rather go to a comedy show just because, like, there's nothing better than just laughing until it hurts, you know? It's one of my favorite things. And, like, the last thing, too, because I don't know if you got, like, some stuff you got to do, but the last thing I wanted to say was, I asked Brian Moreno this, too. So, like, for me, you know, I admire comedians. I admire the art of stand-up comedy. And, like, I love going to shows. And I'm, like, one of those people that I'm just, like, terrified to go and do something. Like, I had the idea for the podcast for maybe a year and a half before I started it. I'm just, like, so terrified to get up there. But it's, like, something that I want to do so badly. Is there any kind of, like, advice you would give for me? Because I know the whole thing is, like, I know that I'm going to suck right away. And I hate being bad at stuff. So it's, like, is there any advice you would give for me for that?
Just go do it.
Just do it? Yeah. I hear you. Yeah, man. But thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything that you wanted to plug for you?
Yeah, the Soccer Comic Rant. It's my podcast. It's at allthingscomedy.com. And my Instagram is at Ian Edwards Comic. At Ian Edwards Comic. And on my website, ianedwardscomedian.com.
Go buy the special.
Yeah. Yeah, my comedy album's right there. 100% half-ass, produced by Conan.
Yeah, you're on the Team Coco, too, huh?
Team Coco label, yeah.
That's awesome, man. Thank you so much for coming on, man, for real. That I was saying before you came on that the Rogan, one of the first podcasts I listened to was you with Rogan, and I was like, this is something that I am really interested in, was, like, podcasting. So, like, having you on, for real, it's, like, just thanks so much for coming on and giving me a little bit of time. All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
No, I'll come back to Cleveland.
All right. Yeah, and I'll be there. All right, man. Have a good one.
All right, you too.
Bye. There it was, guys. Ian Edwards. Man, that was actually kind of a long podcast. That was longer than I was expecting it to be. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We have Michael Linocci, and I'm working on Jeremiah Watkins, who opens for Tony Hinchcliffe. Yeah, y'all. We're doing it. Yo, until next time, guys. Peace.